church this morning. Glad that you are worshiping with us. If you are visiting with us this morning, maybe your first time, you may have been here a few times, but want to make sure that you know that we are glad that you're here. We'd like to know who you are. It's okay if you want to fly under the radar. We allow that. But if you would like for us to know who you are, we would like to know who you are. And there's a blue card in the seat in front of you that you can fill in your information for us. If you would like to be added to our email distribution list, you can check that box. And there's some, you can leave that in your seat there for us. Just glad that you're here. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. You know, the children earlier when she said who preaches the sermon, and they said God. Now, in all seriousness, I hope that they were right. That's what I hope every week, that God is preaching the sermon and that you hear directly from Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you because we have nowhere else to go. You're the giver of life. You're our healer. You're our redeemer. You are the truth that sets us free. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You speak. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can flip over to Mark chapter 14 if you like. I'm going to come to that in just a second. But I want to kind of tell you about four different individuals, and I want to give you some facts and see if you know who these individuals are. This first one was cut from his high school basketball team and ended up making it to the NBA. This particular person missed over 12,000 baskets, shots. Missed over 12,000 in their career. They lost over 400 NBA games, and they missed over 25 last-second game-winning shots. Anybody know who that is? Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. Probably most people put him in the either the best to ever play the game or one of the best to ever play the game. Okay, this particular person was a painter. Sold one painting in their lifetime, one painting, and it was 4 months before their death. Now, their paintings regularly sell for millions of dollars. I actually looked this up online. Four of their, if you adjust it for inflation and so forth, four of their paintings have sold for over $100 million each. Anybody got an idea who that might be? Van Gogh. Who said Van Gogh? Smart people in this. Church. Van Gogh. He sold one painting in his lifetime. Died feeling like he was a failure. This one, I'll tell you who it is and attribute a quote to him. This was Thomas Edison, which had thousands and thousands of patents in his lifetime, was probably known as the world's greatest inventor. This quote is attributed to him. I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. Don't you love that? I've read a little bit about that quote, and he was actually being asked by a reporter, you know, about this, that he's tried to make it. The light bulb had actually been invented, but there was no commercialized, practical light bulb that had been invented. And so they asked him about that, and that was his response. Well, on October the 21st, 1879, he patented the commercial light bulb, which very similar to the ones we use today. See if you know who this person is. At age 22, they lost their job. At age 23, they were defeated in a run for the state legislature. At age 24, failed in a new business venture. Age 26, had a death of a longtime sweetheart. Age 27, suffered a nervous breakdown. 29, defeated for the state house leader. Age 34, defeated in a nomination to Congress. Age 45, lost a run for the U.S. Senate. Age 47, defeated for nomination as vice president. Age 49, defeated again for the U.S. Senate. Age 51, elected president of the United States. Abraham Lincoln. How many of us in that run of bad luck that Abraham Lincoln had, how many of us would have given up? You don't have to raise your hand. Because I know, if you're being honest, most of us probably would have given up. I never ran for anything. I don't take defeat well. As noticed from the cheesehead last week. But anyway, that's another story. But, you know, I never ran for anything when I was in high school because I didn't want to lose. So I just didn't run. And many times we find ourselves dealing with our insecurities and our fear of failure in that way. Today we continue the sermon series, Weathering the Storm, with today's message being fear of failure. So how many of us just, if we're honest, number one, we would have given up if we'd have been Abraham Lincoln. We'd have never made it to being the president of the United States. And I would offer this. I believe the things that Abraham Lincoln went to getting to the presidency helped him deal with the issues that our nation faced when he became president. How many of you believe that? I mean, the hardship and the stick-to-itness that he had to just demonstrate in his life, I believe equipped him to be the great president that we know him to be today. So Mark 14. Now, so as we look at this this idea, this concept of failure, this fear of failure. First of all, fear of anything. You've heard me say this before if you've been here very long. Fear isn't from God. Okay? So if you're fearful of something, anything, that's from the enemy. That's not from God. Okay? I want to tell you, I mean, even going back, and I say it in jest, but it was really the truth. I didn't run for anything in high school. I didn't run for anything because I didn't want the rejection. I basically wanted people to affirm me. I didn't want to go, by the way, Jeff, you lost. You know? So it was this fear of rejection that kept me from even trying to do those things. And so that was from the enemy. The insecurities that the enemy was placing inside of me to not make me even want to try. Well, as we look at this passage in Mark 14, I want to set it up by we're going to look at what I think is one of the greatest failure to success stories in God's Word, and his name, who we're going to look at today, is Peter. What a great example of failure, this grace being transformed into success. Now, I'm going to set up this Mark chapter 14 passage by reading out of Matthew 16. Jesus had gathered the disciples, and he had said, all the people are saying all these things about who you are, Jesus. And Jesus turned it on them, and he said, who do you say that I am? You, my friends, that have been traveling with me, that you know me better than anybody, who do you say that I am? And ultimately, Peter said this. Simon Peter answered in verse 6, Matthew 16, 16. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in verse 18, two verses later, Jesus says this, responds to Peter, and he says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So, I mean, don't you know that Peter was proud at that moment? He's like, I got it right. And Jesus said, this truth that God has given you, that I am the Christ, on that foundation, the church will be established. The fact that Jesus is the Christ. Many people think that it was established on the strength of Peter. Well, quite frankly, that's nonsense. Because we see that Peter wasn't strong at all. No, it was the strength of the truth of the statement that God had revealed to him that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was on that foundation that the church would be built, and then nothing would overcome that. Nothing that we face is greater than the fact that Jesus is Jesus. He's the Christ. Okay, so Peter's doing good, right? Peter's doing good. And then we pick it up in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 27. Now Jesus is, he's headed to the cross, okay? He's setting it up. He's speaking right before he is to be carried away. He is speaking to the disciples. And he says in verse 27, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written." Now, I love this because Jesus, did you know that Jesus all the time, you have to excuse me, I've been sick this week, I'm getting better, but anyway. So if I pass out, would y'all please not, buddy, I don't want you giving me mouth to mouth, okay? Y'all, somebody fight him off if he starts heading up here. All right. I'm just kidding, buddy. If it's got to be you to save my life, I'll take it, buddy. I'll take it. So Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's referring to the Old Testament Scripture. And so people that think that Scripture is just, we can take it or leave it, Jesus, he constantly referred to Scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. He says that over and over and over as he's speaking and as he's teaching. So here he is. "It is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared. Now listen to this. This is the same one who just a little while earlier had said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus was patting him on the back going, "Attaboy, Peter. Good job. You're listening to God." Well, here's Peter. "Even if all fall away, I won't. I will not. I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. So it wasn't just Peter. We always kind of lump this in. We kind of toss it in Peter's lap, don't we? But Peter said it, but all the others are back there going, "Yeah, yeah, 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 me too. I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to desert you." And we're going to skip over to verse 66. While Peter was below, Jesus has been arrested. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus." Notice how that Nazarene, there's just an accusatory tone to that. "But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing there, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Now, I want you to just hang on just a second. Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and he wept. I want you to put yourself right there in Peter's shoes and feel the shame that must have been all over him. I mean, this is the guy who had got it right and said, "Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he had boldly predicted, if everybody else falls away, not me. And he hears that rooster crow. You think he felt like a failure? Would you have felt like a failure? Well, I want us today, the Bible and life is full of people who God has transformed failure into success that brings him glory. And I'm at the top of the list. I hope that my life brings him glory, but I know one thing. He has taken, I have failed him countless times in my life. And he still finds favor with me. He still is merciful to me. And that leads me to my first point. We can turn failure into success and bring glory to God if we understand that God is merciful. You have to understand that God is merciful. In that moment that Peter denied Jesus for the third time, did exactly what the Scripture had foretold and Jesus had told him he was going to do. He did it exactly the way Jesus had lined it out. The rooster crows, he broke down, and he wept. If there's ever been a failure in life, at that moment, Peter was the definition of failure. And yet, even at that moment, I can just imagine, and Scripture doesn't tell us, but I can just imagine that Jesus must have glanced over his shoulder and seen Peter, and even at that moment had compassion in his eyes for Peter. Because, see, I believe Jesus was more concerned about the brokenness of Peter than he was his betrayal. Hello, are you listening to me? I believe Jesus was more concerned about the broken spirit of Peter than the betrayal of Peter. Luke chapter 22 says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." So he's basically told Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to desert me. But when you've turned back, in other words, you're going to weep and you're going to be broken. But you're going to keep your faith and you're going to return to me and I'm going to be there. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Be a leader. Bring me glory. Let your brokenness, let your failure bring me glory. And I've said this before, but I just love the way Jesus greeted the disciples after the resurrection. I mean, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't, but I can see myself, you know, coming into the room where the disciples have been huddled after the resurrection, and I can see myself kind of going, What did I tell you? I told you what you were going to do, didn't I? And you did it, didn't you? That's not how Jesus greeted them. Let's get real. We got a room full of failures that had abandoned the Son of God in his hour of need. And they're huddled in this room and they've heard, the women have come back and said, "Hey, Jesus is risen, the tomb's empty, we've seen him." Don't you imagine that they were kind of shuddering a little bit? Jesus appears in the room, he holds out his hands and he says, "Peace be with you." We can turn failure into success and bring glory to God if we understand that God is merciful. The enemy wants to heap shame on you for what you've done in your life and what's been done to you. He wants to heap shame on you and condemnation on you. Jesus wants to say, "Peace be with you. I know you've messed up. Why do you think I hung on the cross, Peter? Why do you think I hung on the cross? It's my heart to be merciful to you." Second thing, we can turn failure into success and bring glory to God if we learn from the source of our failure. You know, Paul, in one of his writings, he says, "I've learned the secret of being content in any and all circumstances." There's this process of learning, of growing. Wesley called it sanctification, this purifying, this making holy that is going on in each of us. When we come to Christ, when we come through faith, by grace, when we come to Christ, that's the starting gate. That's not the finish line. God's working. He wants to mold us into the person he's called us to be. And so he's shaping us. He's molding us. He's teaching us to be like him. The source of Peter's failure was pride. Peter thought, "If all the rest of them fall away, not me." Do you hear the pride and the arrogance in Peter's voice? Peter, quite frankly, sometimes the answer for pride is to be humbled. Anybody ever been humbled besides me? Now, this is kind of silly. I have no idea why I even thought of this, but I can remember. I play the bass guitar a little bit, and I tell anybody that asks, I'm a hacker. I know where the notes are. That's about it. I'm a hacker. But I can remember 25 years ago, I was working on a Walk to Emmaus, and I was playing the bass. Okay, I'm getting real with you now. And I was up there, and I was thinking, yeah, your daddy's playing him some bass. And I thought, I got it going on. And I remember that I didn't tell anybody that, but inside I'm thinking, I'm sounding pretty good here. And I remember this guy that was on the walk, he came up during the break and he goes, hey, man, I like your bass. My bass was a gift from my mom and dad, my graduation gift. They barely had things that were electric back in those days, but it's an electric bass. But anyway, it's a pretty cool bass. I've had it since 1978, and this guy comes up and he goes, hey, he said, I like your bass, and can I see it? Sure, you know. He gets on that thing. I didn't know that it made sounds like that. It looked like the neck was like 14 foot long. I mean, he's just doing all this stuff and it's going. And God said, Thought she was pretty good, didn't you? You know, we can be humbled just like that. Did you know it? I don't care how good you are at something. And sometimes the answer for pride is to be humbled. And God knows when we need to be humbled. Perhaps your source of any failure in your life is not pride. Maybe it's something else. But God knows the answer, and He wants to teach us. He wants to teach us from our failure in order to bring glory to Himself. Third thing, we can turn failure into success and bring glory to God if we allow failure to draw us closer to God. Now, once again, we need to understand. I mean, we just need to understand. We have an enemy. And if you don't understand that we have an enemy, and it's not another person, it's the devil. I mean, and he's real. I don't like to spend much time on the devil, but you just need to understand that he's real. But so is God. You need to understand that the devil's goal in life is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take us out. He wants us to feel worthless. He wants us to have shame for our failures. And God said, but I've come that you may have abundant life. I've come to draw near to you and to bless you. Now listen to, we're going back to Peter here. It's so ironic. Jesus, man, he just knows how to speak to us. But Peter denied Jesus how many times? In John chapter 21, when you know the story, Jesus is resurrected. He fixes breakfast for the disciples. They've been out fishing. He calls them in. He fixes them breakfast, and he's sitting there talking with them. And here he's got this Peter who, in his pride and in his arrogance, denied even knowing Jesus just a few days earlier. And then he says to him, Simon, son of John, this is the words of Jesus, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. He goes on and asks him again, do you truly love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. Simon, son of John, a third time he asks him, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Isn't it ironic? Jesus asked three times if Peter loved him. It's like, you didn't love me that first time you denied me. You didn't love me that second time you denied me. You didn't love me that third time. Do you love me now? Peter went on. Well, this is moving us to number four. We can turn failure into success and bring glory to God if we embrace God's new plan for our life. Peter embraced God's new plan for our life. Peter was transformed by the resurrection of Christ. I mean, he was scared to death when they hauled Jesus off to be crucified, he saw him dead. He saw him taken down, this lifeless body taken down off the cross. He saw him put in the tomb. And then he saw him teaching. He fixed breakfast for him, for goodness sake. He put his fingers in his scars and of his hands, and the scars in his side, the scars in his feet. He touched him. He saw him. This is Jesus. You were just dead 3 days ago. Something transformed Peter, drew him closer, and he suddenly had a new life, a new vision. And we go on to read about Peter. Man, the book of Acts is full of Peter. I mean, he's all the things that he did. Peter wrote two books of the New Testament, 1 and 2 Peter. I love this, the way he opened up his first letter, 1 Peter, in verse 3. He says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Put this in context as he's writing this. Put this in context of, this is the guy who denied knowing Jesus three times. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he had understood Jesus is merciful. He's not looking for a reason to zap me. He's looking for a reason to bless me. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In his great mercy, he's got this new life, this new birth, this new living hope through the resurrection. Jesus said, "I'm going to be killed. I'm going to lay in the grave for 3 days, and then I'm going to rise." And he did it. Name me another religion that can match that. And we're not talking about religion. Name me another God that can match that. Jesus did it. We serve a risen Savior. We don't. I've told you this before, but I'm not trying to be tacky or anything about other religions. But I saw several years ago in the paper, there was an article, and I'm not kidding you, man. I wish I had kept it. There was an article, and it's like they had the index finger bone of Buddha, was traveling around the world in this little glass box, and everybody was coming to worship this finger bone of Buddha. And I looked at that, and I went, "Thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to worship your finger bone." He's a living Savior. Peter goes on to say in one of his writings, he says, "We didn't cleverly invented stories. We were eyewitnesses. We saw the man dead, and then we saw him alive." Something had changed in Peter and transformed him into this life that now was all about bringing God glory, all about telling the story. Do you have a story to tell this morning, church? What he's done for you? That's witnessing. That's how you witness to people. Is you don't have to have one, two, three, all these fancy little points. What did he do for you? That's how we witness. How did he change your life? How did he change your marriage? How did he change the depression that you feel? How has he changed your life? Peter wrote two books of the New Testament. He's throughout the book of Acts. He led people to the saving faith in Jesus. You can read that in Acts chapter 2 and other places. He healed people in Acts chapter 3 and other chapters. He raised people from the dead. Did you know that? Did you know Peter raised people from the dead? I want to do that. We can laugh about it if we want to. Did you know I've got the same Holy Spirit living in me that Peter had? Did you know that you have the same Holy Spirit living in you that Peter had? Do you believe that? Do we believe that we can do miraculous things through the power of the Holy Spirit in us? I believe it. My faith is not to the point where I can raise people from the dead, but Peter's was. In Acts chapter 9, he raised someone from the dead. And here's my favorite part. And this is not in the Bible. This is in early historical writings. History tells that Peter was ultimately, he had another opportunity to deny Christ. had many in his life after this first time that he did deny Christ. Ultimately, he was asked to deny his faith or be crucified like his Savior. That's what history tells us. And it says that Peter said, I'm not denying my faith, and if you're going to crucify me, I would really like to be crucified upside down because I don't deserve to die in the same manner that my Lord and Savior did. So history tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because he would not deny his faith. Is this the same guy? He says, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. What changed? Something changed that transformed fear into faith. I want you, if you would, just bow your head with me for just a second. Lord, forgive us, Lord. So many times we grow up thinking that the way to you is through religion, being good and doing things the right way, not doing the wrong thing. Forgive us of that, Lord. When really the answer is you. It always was. The answer is you. Come in to our hearts and change us. Come into our hearts and transform the fear of failure in us to a life of success and a life that brings you glory. We want that, Jesus. Forgive us for the false idol of religion. Forgive us for listening to the voice of the enemy who says, we're worthless. If we fail, we're worthless. And really, failure is just preparation to bring you glory. It's preparation in us for us to succeed and to bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, that you're merciful and that we can draw close to you and that you can heal us and change us. If that's you this morning, with every head still bowed, if you want that this morning for the first time, just lift your hand right where you're at. Amen. If you have known that before, that God loves you in spite of your weakness, in spite of your failure, if you've known that but you've forgotten and you've been reminded this morning, just with your heads bowed, just raise your hand if that's you this morning, if you've been reminded this morning. Amen. Amen. Lord, just like you told Peter, when we've turned back, it's our call upon our life to strengthen one another, to draw near to you and to strengthen one another. Help us to be like that, Lord. Teach us. Transform our failure to glory for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our praise team will come up, and as we close this morning, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, and you would like for him to be, I want to make that invitation to you this morning. What a great day to do that. If you'd like to come and pray, the altar rail is open as we close as well. Let's stand as we close.
How great is your faithfulness, that you have shown to me. Your faithful presence never leaves. Your mercy is new each day. You never give up on me. Reaching your hand out to rescue me. Faithful God, your love is my song.
Notorious failure said this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Faithful God, your love is my song. Me. rescued life is mine.